Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you today, and we've got a great show planned for you. And, you know, we got a market that just doesn't care. You know, it's amazing if we look back at last week and the number of days it looked like we could see some pressure. And of course, as we used to say on the floor, here come the buyers back. Here come the markets back with different owners. And, you know, hey, you cannot fight it. And one of the things I always like to talk about and teach people is that not trading or observing the market and not taking away the potential opportunity cost of later by being in a bad trade today will give you, it's just like trading. You know, trading and investing are counting on your personal attitude to how you feel. And if you put yourself in some bad trades, you're not feeling very well, so you're not likely to be more aggressive when the markets turn to be more aggressive for you. And that is something that we like to talk about, because that's why observing the market and being on the sidelines when times are tough and not really giving you the abilities, because right now, let's face it, if you're an investor, it doesn't really matter overall. I mean, the markets, you know, they're grinding higher. And if you're invested in and you're long, you know, most likely you're doing okay. However, you know, many of us like to try to fight the tape, and many of us like to say, oh, well, this is, we can't go any higher. And we can't say that. I mean, we may believe it. I mean, I'm probably personally more bearish than I've ever been in my life in any one cycle. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to step out and get crazy shorting or selling, because if you put yourself in a bad position, you take yourself out of the game mentally, and then you take away the potential opportunity cost later when the markets actually become active. So not trading is the same as trading, because not being in a bad position gives you the ability to enter and not be fearful. So if you're in a bad trade now and it's going way against you, and then you have to double up on that trade when it's way against you, it's harder to do instead of if you're initiating a new position into a market that now looks to be becoming more active. So that just a little bit of footnote here. And of course, last week we had the convention, and of course Hillary was the nominee. And look, I think it's great that a woman got the nomination. I think it's great. Just not that woman. Okay, it's just like, I did not have sex with that woman. Well, you know, I don't like that woman. And but at the end of the day, I mean, I think it's great that we now know that in this country we will nominate a minority, we'll nominate a woman. And to me, that's the way it should be, because, you know, who knows who's going to be the answer. You know, everybody's got their own gifts and what they do, and I think that it's a wonderful situation that we're in, that we can now, you know, choose who we believe is going to be the best leader versus, you know, who they are. And I think that's great. And so I commend everybody for that. And again, I don't like her, but I mean, that's the way it goes. And of course, you know, we've got our guy Trump, who, again, you know, you can look at him at either side. I mean, I happen to like him. I think that, you know, I don't like everything about him, but I do think that he will try to do some of the things he's saying he's going to do. I think at the end of the day, that gives us a better chance to move on. I think I'm extremely sick and tired of the status quo of what we're seeing here. And it really makes me cringe every time somebody says, well, he's not a politician, so how's he going to know how to act? And I go, well, hell, we've had politicians forever, and all they've done is destroy. You know, they're like missiles. Seek and destroy our economy, and seek and destroy our country. And to me, that's a bigger problem we have. But overall, we've got, you know, we're now in August. Today is August. Today is August 1st. And, you know, we've got jobs on Friday. We saw last Friday another miss in GDP, which tells you we're not growing. But, of course, we knew that. And you continue to have the idiots at the central banks around the world buying securities and buying ETFs. And, you know, pretty soon they're going to own everything. And again, I just wonder how healthy is that for the world when the governments and the central banks have to prop up their own markets. See, that to me is not free and true market. And that's where I find issues, where we don't have the ability to have free markets, because when you continue to have somebody interfere or try to engineer or manipulate, where are you really going? Because the money is not coming from people. The money is not truly coming from investors. The money is coming from central banks, which in most cases has been money that has been created, okay, which really devalues your own value. You know, I know that might be hard to comprehend, but here's the story. I know we've talked about this before, but every time we have a currency war or the value of the dollar goes down, for example, that is the same thing as a company putting together a secondary stock issuing that dilutes what you actually have, which is why our costs continue to rise. Even though we don't have inflation, you have now the devalue, which creates its own inflation, which is a total mess in its own, which is why I think the fiat currency is now failing for those reasons, okay? Because of what we're watching, because of the destruction, because of the lack of true growth, the lack of true opportunity, the lack, you know, we saw what happened with Ford last week. And, you know, I've asked the question many times before, did the automakers sell out their future, okay, looking for instant gratification? And, you know, I know one of their biggest concerns is the advent of Uber and things like that, because in big cities, I believe that the number of cars they will sell is going to start to dramatically fall. So their production is going to continue to fall, because when you're in a big city, it really doesn't pay to necessarily have a car. And certainly if you were a two-car family, you're not going to have two, because you can't drive them anyways. And these are some of the issues that nobody's looking at down the road. But it comes back to growth, because without growth, you don't create good jobs. And without good jobs, you don't create spending. And without spending, you don't support the overall businesses, which means what we call the velocity of money does not rotate, which means that there is no major movement creating a position that how the hell are we going to get out of it? And this is why I believe that the Fed should be ended and step away from the market and let the markets do what they're going to do, whether they're going to collapse or go higher. It does not matter. At the end of the day, the markets will always go up. They have managed to go up through every period at a rate of 9% since the beginning. Okay, now they may not go up tomorrow, and they may not go every year, but they will go up if we leave them to free markets and price discovery without all of this intervention and financial engineering being brought to you by the assholes at the Federal Reserve. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure when you miss an episode that you go to libertytalk.fm. Now, you know, we've got full programming there, but you can also get the Sporting Edge, which is we do every Saturday, and the Bubba Show every day. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com as well. We've got a lot of new programs, and we're going to get back into action here coming into the end of the summer. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bob Horowitz. I'm going to step out here for a break, and I will be right back after the break with Jane King, the Bubba Show.
All right, boys, follow me, mostly in A.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for the one, the only, the very talented, my friend, Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. And as we like to say, she's just like GE. She brings good things to light. And what's up, Jane?
Well, just it's amazing. Like, I think we talk once a week, and so much happens during that time. And I'm always like, oh, I got to talk to Todd about this, and talk to Todd about this. And it's, I mean, of course, it's convention season, and a lot going on with the markets, and it's just a very interesting world we live in.
Well, I think, obviously, the big story, like her or not, but Hillary Clinton, the first woman a nomination of a major party. So congratulations to Hillary, whether I don't like her. Even though I don't like her, I still have to congratulate her for getting that far. I'm pretty exciting for this country that we are able to have an African American and now a woman as a candidate anyways. So I think that's a good thing. That's progress, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is. I mean, and that needs to be noted. And, you know, I think she's been in the public eye for so long that I think it kind of, you know, got pushed aside or like buried a little bit, the fact that history was really made this week when she was nominated. So, yeah, and then I think, you know, that's great, and I think people just have to decide who to vote on based on where they want the country to go.
I agree. Look, I think she's a horrible candidate, but, I mean, again, she got there, and she wants to continue on the Barack Obama policies, but I don't even know what the hell. I don't even think she knows what she's trying to do. I think she's just trying to beat Trump, which brings me to my next question. I thought that the Democratic convention was more an anti-Trump rally and not really about the overall issues. What did you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. When you leave, like, you have this, you know, kind of big picture idea. And the big picture idea I came away with from the Democrat convention was just how horrible and incompetent and insane and corrupt and terrible business person Donald Trump is. Like, I cannot tell you, like, I somebody asked her, or it was one of her surrogates, a question about a job. How is she going to grow jobs? He's like, well, we've got this plan for $100 million, you know, government, you know, and but he never talked specifically about what that contained. So it wasn't like tax breaks for companies, or we're going to invest in infrastructure, or we're going to lower interest rates for small. I mean, I have no idea what the specifics of that plan is. And, you know, it's great to say I've got this plan, but you really have to know what the specifics are before you can make any. Otherwise, it's just worthless information. So, you know, in the Republican convention, I came away from that one with a feeling that they were really pushing security and police officers. So that was kind of my big picture from that one. So it's very different. And, I mean, we've got, like, a lot of times lately, the candidates have been kind of similar. This is a stark choice. I mean, they're very different candidates. So we've got definitely two very different people to choose from.
Oh, it's way different. So let me, I know you're obviously a New Yorker right now, or you've been in New York for, what, 20 years now, 25 years?
2000.
Okay, well, so 16 years.
Yep. So 16, yep.
I thought that Michael Bloomberg came off looking like a jackass. What did you think?
yeah, I watched his speech, and one of the things that got me was when he made this comment about, well, I didn't inherit $1 million from my dad to start a business, but he did get a $10 million severance package from Solomon Brothers when he left his job there and used that money to start Bloomberg. And I just thought, you know, and I know that because when everybody works at Bloomberg, they get a book. They get his biography to read. And it's in his biography. It's in the very first chapter. And I just thought that was kind of not intellectually honest for him to say that, because he implied that, had no money, started on pennies and worked from the bootstraps and all. So I was like, who gets a $10 million severance in the 80s? I mean, this was like 82 or 1980 or something when this happened. It was a huge severance package. And, of course, you know, Bloomberg has been tremendously successful. I mean, the company is, like, you know, amazing. I personally think its best days are behind it for various reasons, because it depends on tech and the financial industry. But then he was just mean. I mean, he was just mean. And then, you know, Donald Trump comes out and talks about, you know, the little guy, and I want to punch the little guy. And I don't know if you've ever seen Michael Bloomberg in person, but he is, like, shockingly short. you know, not Robert Rice short, but close. I mean, I've seen him a few times in person. I'm like, wow, he's really, like, you're like, wow, I didn't know. Like, you always knew that he was short.
Right.
But when you see them, like, okay, that's shorter than I expected.
I just want to make sure everybody knows about the hard pennies and sweat equity that Michael Bloomberg did. I mean, working for the big banks or in the 80s was like, you know, you got small checks, you got, you know, bonus.
Well, he had a lot, and I'm not trying to diminish it because it's an amazing company. It is. And he's got, you know, run an amazing business. But he did have wind at his back. So in the early 80s, he was in tech and finance. I mean, two of the biggest growth areas over those decades. And so, I mean, that made things easier.
He has a great company. My only problem with them is that they went the wrong way when it came time to run their TV show now. But they really just count down their terminals and that stuff to keep them floating. But, I mean, I like Bloomberg. I think he's good. I mean, I don't particularly care for him, especially after his ridiculous speech. I just thought it was a waste of everybody's time. But, listen,
a lot of people ask me, too, like, you know, since I've met him a few times and I worked at his company and I lived in New York, like, would he have been a good president? Like, I just didn't. I think that nanny thing, like, the late years of his mayorship in New York, it just went a little overboard. I mean, with the soft drinks. And I remember he wanted to do a law about high, like, locking away formula in the nurseries at hospitals so moms would be forced to breastfeed. And I was like, you know, that's ridiculous. I mean, not every mom can breastfeed. It doesn't come easy. And so I just felt like that one kind of got pushed away really quickly because I think he got some backlash of it, probably from females on his staff. But that whole nanny state thing was just too much, I think, even for New Yorkers. And I can't imagine it going over in middle America.
No. Are you kidding me? In middle America? But speaking of middle America, you are a middle American born. And we're now once again in this disastrous part of the year. And unfortunately, the grain markets are getting slammed here. I mean, they've been really under a lot of pressure. What do you hear from home? And what do you think? Is there some concern?
Well, I'm going to be going home actually in about a week. So I'm going to be able to see firsthand. And I mean, it's just my understanding. It's like the weather's just great. You know, they're getting rain when they need it. It's been hot, but a little bit later than pollination time for corn, so that didn't damage that crop and, you know, it didn't hurt the beans. And as long as it's not too hot for too long and they get plenty of moisture, I mean, you're going to have a nice, lush crop, and that's what we're seeing again. So here we go. Like, this was, 4 years now, 3 years in a row where we've seen declining commodity prices. So certainly tough, and if that keeps going, it leads to land prices down, banks having trouble, and you know, hopefully, you know, can get the economy going again so they at least have the market to sell the product.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, and that is one of the big problems for the Midwest. And that's getting money because the banking is so tough. It is so hard for people to get any money. In the old community banks, you know, you'd walk in, hey, Jane, how you doing? You need $50,000. Here's a check for $50,000. Go take care of business. And now it's like you got to bring your firstborn in, and maybe it'll give you the money. But, of course, a lot of this selling also has to do not only with good weather and an overabundance of crop, but the problem is that the dollar is becoming very strong again. And the overall financial engineering is creating a problem as well. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen the Bank of Japan, I mean, promising more stimulus. The yen's going down, so everybody's rushing to the dollar. The euro is, you know, Europe's got its own set of problems. And so, that's another thing. I mean, it just makes the products more expensive to sell overseas, and it's another, you know, problem for farmers to deal with.
Yeah, I think they've had, unfortunately, I think the farmers have had the most stuff to deal with more than anybody. Because we know that farmers take a tremendous gamble just by being farmers. And then they need some racing luck. And in the last few years, they have not gotten it because of the Federal Reserve and their financial engineering package. But markets continue to go up. I think we're going to Dow 1 million. What do you think?
20 million. Why not? I mean, it's central bank driven, and you know, somebody asked me the other day on TV, you know, is Wall Street want a Democrat or Republican? I was like, they want the central bank to keep making money easy and cheap. I don't think it matters. I think what matters is the central bank's there to support it and take care of everybody, and I don't see that ending anytime soon. Now, I think if Trump is elected, that might change a little bit. I mean, he's already said, like, he would fire Janet Yellen. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, we could see some big changes in store if Donald Trump is president.
I definitely agree if he does get in. And I do believe, actually, that even though we're running out of time, we'll have to get this next week. But I do believe it may be time to end the Fed. And two presidents in past history, John F. Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln, were two guys. Abraham Lincoln didn't want the involvement before ahead of time. And John Kennedy wanted to end the Fed. But this has been Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Kaching Report. You are always awesome, and you always bring good stuff to the show. Thank you so much, Jane.
Thank you, Todd.
This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with more. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for my guy, Matt Demeter, the expert of experts, the best chart reader in the country. What's up, Matt Demeter?
I'm good. How you doing, Todd?
I'm doing good. And this is DemeterResearch.com. So, Matt, you know, we look back at last week as we started approaching and, I guess, truthfully coming into, historically, the slowest month of the year. And, of course, last week was what we would call a major chop fest in the business, and it never could quite follow through in any direction. It looked like it wanted to break a couple of days, and then all of a sudden, here they came, you know, they come back with different owners, as we used to say. What's your overall view here now?
I don't know. It's been tough for 2 weeks, really. I mean, the past 2 weeks have really been the same choppy mess. I think it's all been within a 1% range, really. I think we're just, you know, we're just waiting. We're just in a waiting, holding pattern sort of setup. But I think August we're going to get more. We will get more volatility.
You do, yeah. You know, because the markets have been over the last couple of years. You know, back when I traded on the floor, it was pretty consistent. You know, the summer was quiet, and especially August, a lot of people on vacation. But then the last few years, summer has become more active and busier, I guess maybe because there's less people around for whatever reason. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think we have to make everybody understand that these are not making trades in here or not being overly active is the same as trading, because protecting your money when things are not quite going well or going the way you expect them to go is just as important as making the good trade. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. Now, you know, over trading's bad when you just kind of chop yourself to death. You know, you have commissions, you have small moves that you could keep getting in and out. It's not good. The reason why I think, you know, last year we had the August, you know, August volatility, August sell-off. What makes me think we might get some volatility this August as well is that if you look at options on VIX, on VIX options, they show that there's a, you know, these market makers are selling. These are European style options, so they're only It can only be exercised on, you know, the expiration date. So it lets you know what market makers are thinking of, you know, these different dates in August, when what they think, what they think volatility be priced for. So if you look at, say, like $12 VIX options, they are, which is right around where volatility, where the VIX is right now, the calls are trading for, you know, 10, 20 times more than the puts are trading for. And I think everybody realizes that, you know, when you get down to these low levels, yes, volatility, you know, tends to bottom out in this area, but they are just selling, they're selling the puts for basically nothing. And the calls are, you know, radically more expensive.
Yeah, I mean, it is brutal. And of course, you know, I've been doing this so long, and I remember in 2004, I mean, it was a long time ago, but it looked like we were never do business again. And, you know, the VIX got down to 9.
Right, right.
And, you know, again, it is very torturous. It's very hard to get involved, and it creates problems. And again, this goes back to being able to discipline yourself enough, you know, to wait. Because one thing about volatility, when there is none, it makes markets very challenging. And when there's a lot, it's very forgiving. And it allows you to make a bad trade and be able to get out. And that, this is one of the things we always, you know, worked on, you know, in trading, is that, you know, when markets were like this, I knew that if I had made some bad trades early, if I stayed, I was a favorite to get killed. And it makes it a much more challenge to trade. However, the market footprints are still there. So you still have to be prepared to make the type of trades that you're looking at. And the levels that show up, because the footprints are the footprints, whether they're active and they're running or they're crawling, which is right now, I think we're crawling right now to the footprint, but they're still the same. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely crawling. But, you know, you look under the surface there, staying on the volatility theme here, in terms of VIX futures, we update that every time we talk. And this past week, looking at the COT report, they almost doubled their position. They bought 40,000 net contracts, so taking their net long position, the commercials, speaking of commercials, took their net long position from 52,000 contracts up to 92,000. So that's a big move in 1 week.
Is that a record? Is that the biggest position ever?
No, the biggest is roughly 120,000. But if we had one more week like we did this past week where they buy that much, then, yeah, we could be there very quickly.
So, I mean, now when you talk commercials, you're talking about the banks. Are they considered the commercials? What are considered the commercials?
Well, I'm looking specifically at the dealer intermediaries, which are, you know, the market makers. They're almost exclusively banks in the category I'm looking at. But yeah, that's what I refer to as the commercials. There's two different reports for COT report. There's one that has four categories, and there's one that has three categories. And one of three categories is just, they just say commercials. And that's basically how I refer to what I consider to be, you know, either the banks and or the hedgers or just the banks. And I try to focus on the banks.
Okay. I mean, yeah, because it's, you know, just important to understand, because, again, you know, as I've said before, you know, I mean, this is just my view, is the banks are holding long positions, and really what they're doing now is they're buying against because they're not selling their longs, so they're looking for a big move to the downside to capitalize a little bit off the short side of the market and then just go back to holding their longs. That's the way I see it. Would that be a correct assessment, or is that wrong?
No, I think that's absolutely right. And if you also look at the stock index futures, they're shorting there too. Pretty heavily short Dow and very heavily short NASDAQ.
Now, do they get trapped as well as the small traders in these, you know, we'd call them, you know, short covering rallies or whatever? Do the commercials get trapped as well in these type of situations, or are they pretty much immune to that?
They don't usually lose. I mean, I would say I've seen them get trapped in they got trapped in the British pound. I mean, you know, going into the whole Brexit referendum, they were already heavily long the pound, and obviously it went against them, and they've just been buying more and more and more, and now they are at a record, all-time record, pound long position. My charts say that pound still hasn't hit a major bottom. It's in at a level where it could bounce, but they're hurting pretty bad from that. So I don't think they anticipated that amount of, you know, pain that they went through. I think eventually it's going to work. The pound's going to work back up, and they're going to, you know, get out without massive losses. But for right now, they do get screwed sometimes, and this was one of them.
And that, yeah, of course, that was they were playing into an announcement that they thought they had pegged right, and of course, the dollar itself was a little bit weaker last week, but still substantially higher than it's been. Are you still looking for a break in the dollar to come back down before it rallies, or are you looking for it to rally first before it breaks?
I've been the past few weeks, I've been more bearish on the dollar and thinking we would, you know, head back down to 92 before we would break above 98, because there's serious resistance at 98, which is declining from the December highs. So we're I think around 96, 95. I think we're headed down to about, you know, back down to the 92 area, probably high 92 area before we see a bounce. And that, once we get down there, then I see a bounce to new highs.
And when we look at the commodity space, especially oil, I mean, oil has been under heavy pressure, down about 6% last week.
It's down. Yeah, down 6% last week, and down 20% from the peak.
And you know, to me, I look at oil as a potential area now to start looking to be a buyer of oil. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm thinking we're going to. My chart says roughly 37 is where we're going to bottom out. The problem is it's an inclining line. So it depends on when we hit it. If we hit it today, we should hit it at about 36.50, around there.
Okay.
But it's inclining about 10 cents per day. So that's where we'll be looking to get long.
So if we consolidate for a couple of weeks, we might be looking at the same number, might be 38 or 39, yes?
Exactly, yeah. The longer it takes to get down there, the higher that bottom will be.
Because I think 40, you know, I thought 44 or 42, but what I always tell, you know, my people is the difference in the commodity space versus the equity space is commodities almost always run a little bit farther than you think they're going to run, either up or down, because they don't have earnings. They're not companies. They don't have all these other outside factors that affect them. So they do make bigger moves, but then they're just that much more powerful when you get to those right levels. What do you think?
Yeah, they always tend to overshoot. I mean, you get into, you know, just the emotional aspect of it where euphoria and depression, I guess.
And you get the idiots like Morgan Stanley and all those other guys calling for these ridiculous prices. But that's who they are, and that's how they swoop the market. But we got the best, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com here on The Bubba Show. And, of course, he always brings us the actual factual numbers, whether or not they're always right. Nobody can always be right, but he's damn straight on. And we've got a new surprise, a new feature we're bringing into the next segment. When we come back with Matt, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, make sure you miss an episode. LibertyTalk.fm will get you all the downloads of not only The Bubba Show, but The Sporting Edge as well. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, gold and silver, and last week was one of the few down weeks of recent vintage. And, of course, you have a special that you're offering to the Bubba Show listeners, as well as you've got an opinion on gold. And so why don't you go ahead and tell us what that special is?
Okay, great. Yeah, it's called the Gold Bottom Call. Basically, we don't believe gold is bottom. We don't think it hits, bear market bottom yet. And when it does, we have a very specific line as to where we believe it's going to bottom. And when it does, we're going to send out an email and a text. To sign up is free. It's only $49 if we're right. And by being right, I mean we have to get that when gold bottoms, we have to be within 3% of that bottom, and then we have to have a 20% rally from that point to be even considered, you know, a good call. So that's the deal, and you know, hopefully people are interested in that.
And they go, where do they go to sign up for that deal?
Just go to demeterresearch.com and click on the subscribe button area. It'll take you to our that area.
That's a pretty good deal, guys. I mean, you know, again, listen, you know, you got it's basically a freebie. I mean, if he's right, you know, you make 20% at least, and if he's wrong, it costs $49. But you know, we've been with Matt for about a year now,
if we're wrong, it doesn't cost anything.
That's what I mean. I'm sorry, I meant that. Yeah, I apologize. But also, I mean, Matt's been pretty much on target on all the markets because he's purely just an analyst and a technician. Nothing to do with opinion or what's going on around you. It's just purely all numbers, and we believe in all numbers. And of course, Matt, the grains, wheat continues to be a little bit weak here and hovering around the bottom, but it kind of looks a little bit like a bottoming pattern again. And corn looks similar, and I think soybeans still have a little bit of work to do on the downside. What are you seeing?
Well, all three are big time oversold in the short term. So I think, you know, we should see a bounce from the group soon. So yeah, soybeans are definitely the more overbought of the three, especially on long term basis. So we would prefer wheat and corn here. In fact, wheat is right on the edge of, you know, it's right at a bottom as of Friday's close. So you know, in this ballpark is really good for a long. But if it were to look, if we were to break below, say just below four, say if it went through 399, we would stop out.
Okay, and I mean that makes sense. I mean, yeah, you know, it's amazing these prices how low they've gotten compared to where they were even you know 10 or 12 years ago. But that's the markets, and this is, you know, what you see when you've got a lot of interference with monetary policy. But anyways, so Matt, you know, you've brought a special feature just to the Bubba Show, and you know, we've been talking a little bit about livestock, and you've actually done a little bit of work on the livestock markets for us. What do you see in there?
Well, when we're talking about cattle and hogs, short term hogs look like they're very close to a bottom. We're just as a short term bottom. I don't, you know, my opinion is long term, neither market has bottomed, but short term we should be seeing a bounce pretty soon in hogs. We're looking at basically just the lows over the you know, going back to last summer, which are around 55.80 would be our target. Where we'd want to get long, we're at 59 as of the close Friday.
Okay,
so we got some. We have a little bit more downside, and then I think we're going to get a pretty sizable bounce.
Yeah, and I see that too. I mean, you know, a lot of the guys are still looking at August, as they still don't come off, and those are in the high 60s now, but they were just 80, and of course they looked like they were coming down, and they've broken down, and now they look just ugly, and I think that. You've seen October, which you're referring to,
right.
December seem to be getting much, much stronger, although weak, but they look like they're starting to build a nice bottom, and it could be 55.80, which is a number that Matt's looking for. And then what about in the cattle markets, Matt? You got some numbers there for us as well?
Cattle, if I was short, I would stay short. I don't know if I'd put a short on now. But I'm more bearish on cattle short term. I think it could have a pop along with hogs, but I don't see a clear support for just yet.
Okay, and that's and this is, guys, and this is what makes a market, because I happen to think that we've seen, you know, somewhere near the bottoms, and we've had some pretty good action off of here. But again, it's the key of executing and trading and protecting yourself, you know, through different methods of hedging, especially if you're, you know, a farmer or producer. You know, it's not as important which way they go. What's important is where you put your basis at. And so this is going to be something that Matt's going to do with us on a weekly basis and kind of walk us through what he's seeing from a pure numbers point. And I think that's always a great thing. So, Matt, what are you seeing in the rest of the this the commodity space in general. I mean, you know, we've got obviously gold has been under pressure. The grains have been under pressure. Livestock's been under pressure. I mean, it feels like there's no bottom anywhere in sight in any of these spaces. Are you seeing that maybe we're coming down to an end here at the bottom overall, or do you think there's still much more room to go to the downside?
Well, I think we're, you know, saying like the last two innings or however you want to put it, you know, as far as amount of time and depth that we're going to get to. I don't think I think the whole commodity space has not bottomed. I think that we are going to get big, you know, massive rallies when we do. And we've, you know, 75-80% of the pain since roughly 2011, it's over. But yeah, we see gold and silver making new lows. Gold in particular, we think will make, you know, more substantial lows. Oil, I think, we haven't seen the bottom. Well, we may have seen the bottom there for a while, but I think it's still going to be under pressure for a while. You know, all of agriculture is you know, severely depressed, obviously. But I think there's one more flush to the downside before we hit a major bottom. I don't think if you take all 13 or 14 major agricultural commodities together, they have not bottom, but it's really not that far away.
Right. There's not, again, in other words, if I said to you, Matt, you have to make a decision and it's a life or death decision, you either have to buy them or sell them, and you've got, you know, X amount of time, you're going to most likely be a buyer here. If you had to do something, you may be looking for, as a trader for the short side, for a quick turn. But at the end of the day, it looks like they've done most of their damage in the downside. And I think we're both waiting for one more potential flush to the bottom where the panic rolls in and the blood rolls in the streets. What do you think?
Definitely. I mean, if you said I had to hold for a year or more, I would be a buyer. And because I think that we will, you know, be higher a year out. But I think, yeah, we haven't quite completed. I think, you know, I think we're still in sort of this, a deflationary sort of environment, at least for the commodities. And then I think we're going to get much more inflation, you know, in the years ahead. But I think we still probably have a year or probably less than that, even really, of the deflation still, you know, being the dominant force.
And it's funny because, you know, when you look at it, deflation, inflation, I mean, goods and services are more expensive, but we're making less money. But so what about the bond markets now? So we've seen some lows, and of course, you did call for the 36-year bull market to be over. Are you still looking at it that way?
For the 10-year rate, I think we've bottomed. I really do. The problem I'm having is that it's a massive pattern, is incredibly strong. And then I turn over to the 30-year rate and it's telling me something a little bit different. And then when I look at TLT, it's telling me something a little bit different. It's saying TLT is saying it wants to go higher. That's 20 plus years treasuries. That thing is going to go higher than our previous highs.
And that's the inversion of the yield curve, which is something we'll talk about next week. But Matt Demeter, as always, a pleasure to have you on, and thanks for the great analysis. I appreciate it.
Great to be here. Thanks, Todd.
This was Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. And make sure you go check out his gold special. I'm telling you, it's a great deal. I mean, no risk. Where do you get those kind of things where you get someone who's a professional going to give you a call? And only if he's right and you make 20%, are you going to have to pay for it, $49. DemeterResearch.com. Check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. Make sure when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm gets you both The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. Everybody have a great day. We appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace.
Turn the quiet up. Turn the noise down.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.